I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning to the Harvest Festival service. It's good to meet together again after such a long time, and it's lovely to see you all. I hope we'll have a happy time of fellowship together. Our service is being led today by Martin, and Adrian is in charge of the technology, zooming to all our friends who can't be here today. Many thanks to both of them, and welcome, of course, to those joining us on Zoom. Now I'll hand over to Martin. Thank you.
I can't see. It's lovely to be here actually in the church building. It's wonderful to see a whole array of masks and shields and that, but I'm glad to see that you're here. Janet has done some thanks. I just want to sort of re-echo those. We've got to thank Adrian for all the technology. And I was here on Thursday watching him set it up, and my opening statement was, well, I'm glad you're doing that. So thank you to Adrian. Thank you to Janet for playing on people's arrival. Lovely to hear the organ. To Anne for the beautiful flower displays. I'm looking around at masks and hoping the white mask is going to nod at me. And we need to say thank you to the Girls Brigade for the display at the back there with the rainbow and the pictures that are up here. So thank you to everybody who's enabled us to be able to put this service together. And we've come this morning to celebrate the harvest and also to worship God. If you are in the building, you need to obey certain rules. And I'll try and get these right now. When we ask you to come to the front, if you're in section one, or section two, which is like this half of this aisle, you need to step out of your aisle, go up to the back of the church, across the back of the church, and down this aisle, and put your donation or whatever, and then go back up that way to your seat. If you're in sections three and sections four, you step out of your aisle, you come down to the front, and you walk across the front, you go up the back and across the back and down, and then back to your seat. That way we're reducing all the risks. Sorry for the complication, out of my hands. I'm just doing...
Join the meeting.
You are not allowed to sing. I do apologise, but under government guidelines, you are not allowed to sing. You can sing quietly behind your masks, but I didn't tell you that. And there will be two sorts of offerings. One is when we receive the harvest, there is an offering here to go to the... to the Hope Centre. So if you've not brought food, because obviously we can't easily give away tins and things, so again, as we receive it, come in, put your money in the offering there. If you brought your normal church offering, then there is a plate on both sides at the back, which will be, you'll be able to put your church offerings in on the retirement from the service at the end. I think that's covered all the rules and regulations. Now, if I missed anything out, please wave at me if I've missed anything out. On the leave, well, yeah, please leave at the end. So when the service finishes, we're not allowed to congregate and have a chat because that's against the rules. So again, what we'll do is we'll do you in sections. So section one will go out, section two, section three can come round and go out, and section four. Does that make sense? So we'll try and keep on top of things as best as we can. And if it all goes wrong, please don't come and hit me. So go back to our welcome. Welcome to our service this morning. We've come together to worship God. Our call to worship comes from two passages, one in Psalms and one from Isaiah. Psalm 106 says, "Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And Isaiah says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things." Let's pray together. As we come together in this building and virtually through those who are watching on Zoom, we pray, Lord, that you would bless our worship. We think of those who are unable to be with us this morning. We think of those of our church who are in a resident at Bethany. I think of Jane Dickerson, Anne Hobbis, Brenda Eason, and Barry Love. There are others in other homes and other centres that aren't able to be with us. We pray for them, that as we worship this morning, that you would bless them. We pray for the staff of the homes, and we pray that you would lift them and bless them. We pray for the children's work that's going on upstairs. We pray you would bless the children and the volunteers. And this morning, as we thank you for your provision, we ask that you would be blessed by our worship together. Amen. Our first hymn that you're allowed to mouth the words to, as we mime together, is Come Ye Thankful People Come. And we are now going to have the magic of technology and Zoom. Adrian, are we going to be able to see him? Yeah, we're not. Right. We're going to hear Mark's lovely voice as he reads for us from Exodus chapter 16. Thank you, Mark.
Good morning, everybody. Exodus 16, 1 to 21. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat round pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize that it is the Lord who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out towards the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. At evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They said. They asked each other. They had no idea what it was, and Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather up as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it till morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to his need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared.
My apologies for that being such a long reading. Thank you, Mark, for doing that. I'd say you can now go and get yourself a nice drink of water and wet your vocal cords again. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 25, and it's verses 34 to 40. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And when these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will say, I'll tell you the truth. And you did it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters. You were doing it to me. It's quite difficult, really, to do a harvest service when you can't really have a harvest. I was wondering how to sort of tie everything in. A couple of weeks ago, if you remember, if you were tuned into the Zoom service or you've listened to it since, I talked about counting our blessings. We looked at the Israelites when they moaned at God, which they were very good at doing, and complained about the fact there was no water, and God provided water. And here we are now. This event today is just before that event, so we've gone out of sequence. This, but here they're moaning to God about the fact they haven't got enough food. And it's interesting that they refer back to when they were slaves, when they were moaning to God because they were slaves. And they were saying, well, we would be much better where we were, because at least there we had meat and food and as much as we wanted. Whereas I think they were looking through rose-tinted glasses. And here we have the situation that they're moaning to God, they're moaning to Moses, and there's thus to God, and saying, you know, we don't have enough food. So how do you tie all that in with a harvest? Well, it's easy, really. Or I think it's an easy statement, and I've written it down as my first point, is that in verse 4, God says, well, I will provide for you tonight. So they've moaned to God in the morning, and God says, right, tonight you will see the provision that I have. I'm not going to go into a long thing on this, because obviously it's a very long reading. We all know the story. But it says that God will provide, and I'll put in capital letters, what we need. You see, now there is a very big difference. A lot of us moan to God, we haven't got some of the things that we want. Whereas God has promised to provide what we need. And we need to learn that distinction between need and want. So God says, I will provide for you, and these are the rules. Again, I'm not going to go into it all, but basically, you go and collect enough for you. So each person will go out and collect enough that what they need for that day, and for that day only, God will provide what you need. Because tomorrow, God will provide what you need. The note in verses 17 to 18 of that long reading says, everyone, when they had gathered the manna and whatever they were collecting, it says, everyone had just enough. So that doesn't mean God is a Scrooge. It doesn't mean that God is counting the pennies and saying, well, I don't want to give you any more. It's actually saying, what you need is this. I will make sure you've got what you need. It's interesting, in the counting your blessings thing, those of you who use Facebook, I don't put a lot of stuff on there nowadays. It's beginning to get on my nerves a little bit, or the bashing and moaning and everything. But I started to do a count your blessings thing. I don't know if those of you who've got me as a friend or whatever noticed. But it's interesting that we forget what God has provided for us. We've got a roof over our heads. We've got clothes to wear. We've got food to eat. We've got family or friends around us. We've got support networks. So God is providing what we need, even when maybe we haven't gone to him and moaned, even when maybe we don't even realize that God is providing what we need. But if that all dried up and all that stopped, we would certainly notice, wouldn't we? If you hadn't got enough food, if you hadn't got a roof, you know, if you hadn't got your health and your clothes and all the rest of it, it would be noticed. So God's provision is a daily provision. And our walk with God is a daily walk. And our faith is a daily faith. Each morning we need to say, you know, we recite the Lord's Prayer very frequently. And one of the things it says, give us this day our daily bread. We don't go to God and say, you know, like, because we live in a modern society and we go into a weekly shop or a monthly shop, we don't go to God and say, give us our monthly bread today, do we? We still say, give us this day our daily bread. Our walk with God is a daily walk. And God has promised to provide everything we need. And if you continue on in that reading, right the way through Exodus, right to when the children of Israel get to the promised land, you will find the day after they enter the promised land, manna stops dropping. You see, God provided their needs on a daily basis until they no longer needed that. And God is faithful. The reading in Matthew says, from the reading of Matthew, we can pick up the... Oh, sorry, Adrian. Yeah, there's two verses on there. So, yeah, God is God the provider. And that's in Genesis 22:14. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Sorry, I've got a PowerPoint that I can't control. So I forgot to tell Adrian to move on. And God the provider in the New Testament is... Paul writes to the Philippians and says, my God will supply all your needs. So in the same way that God provides for us, we should provide for others. And this is what we do with the Harvest Festival. Let's look at the... Sorry, I've jumped. I've got my notes in a different order. So the on the second slide, look at the ways and the things that God has provided. So we've got God provided, as we've just read, manna and quail and water from a rock. So God provided basic daily needs for his people. And then God provided oil and flour. And that was Elijah with the woman, and the oil and the flour never ran out until the famine had ended. So God provided for her needs on a daily basis. And note there in that story that it was a case of make me a loaf, make me a cake of bread first. When she said, I've got enough to make one loaf, he said, no, make me one first, then make yours, and then God will make sure that the oil and the flour never runs out. Now, I wonder what had happened, what would have happened if she had made it the other way around. Maybe it wouldn't have lasted that long. Hypothetical situations. But God provided. And then with Elisha, we have oil again. The lady whose husband had died and she needed to pay everything back. So the little jar of oil filled so many other jars until she could repay everything. And once everything was repaid, the oil stopped flowing. Once all the jars had run out, the oil stopped flowing. So God provided oil. And then in the New Testament, we have a miraculous catch of fish with Luke and John, where they've been fishing all night. And Jesus says to them, put your net out on the other side. And then on the feeding of the 5,000, God provided the needs of the people rather than sending them away. And then in Matthew, we have the feeding of the 4,000, which some people say this is the same incident, but either way around, it's a different number of fish. And that, but it's, you know, but the meal for the 4,000. So again, he provides the needs there. And then we have the provision of money for taxes, where he sends Peter to catch the fish and says, "In open its mouth and there's a coin to pay the taxes." God will provide needs. God has promised to provide needs. I will be with you always. And God is faithful and true to his word. So in the same way that God, in this same way, God provides for us, and that we should then provide for others. And doing this is a simple act of blessing God. When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in prison or in need? And Jesus says, if you do it for the least of these. Now, this is always a very difficult one, because we're always told in society to be careful of people who are begging and all the rest of it. And that. But, you know, if we just walk past everybody, then nobody gets helped. And sometimes we need to look at situations that are maybe that bit further afield. We look at some of these pleas on the television and you know, how can we help some of these countries that are desperately in need? You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, we can't do it. So we see these needs, and sometimes we turn a blind eye because we think we just can't do it. There's nothing we can do about it. And it's so far away, it doesn't have any impact upon us. But Jesus says, in helping these, even though you may never come into contact with them, you've helped me. And on this slide, it's a, when we see a need, we shouldn't say, I tell you, it would help if I looked at my printouts and my slides, wouldn't it? We shouldn't say, it's too much. How often do we look at something and go, that is just too big, there's nothing I can do about that. How can I make any difference? Or we shouldn't say, it's too difficult. Quite often we can look at situations and go, well, I couldn't do anything about that. It's too difficult for me to cope with. What about, I can't do it? See, that brings us to the story of everybody, somebody and nobody. Everybody expected somebody to do it, and nobody did it. The three people, isn't it? Everybody, somebody and nobody. And I can't do it. I couldn't possibly do that. And the last one, I think, I wanted to put an extra word in this one, but I didn't put it in, is I wanted to put the word possible. What possible difference could I make? When there's famine in a country, what possible difference could I make? What possible difference could I make to the nations that are struggling for water and things? But the difference, the thing is, the possible difference is that we can make a difference. We might only be able to put in, say, a pound. But if everybody put in a pound, that's a lot of pounds, isn't it? If you take the country, our country as a whole, and if every person put in just a pound, we can make a difference, can't we? And I know that sort of simplifies things, but it's as simple as that. It's really what Jesus is saying. If you help these people, you're helping me. So when we do see a problem, what we actually should say is, God, what would you have me do? I think it's a case that we should be able to go to God and say, I remember, Lord, that you have provided for me. I recall the food that you've given me, the clothes that you've given me, the roof over my head. Lord, what would you have me do to help this situation? And then as we're sitting and pondering on that, we need to remember the promise of God in that book we read at the beginning in Philippians. Remember, my God will supply all your needs. Let's sing together. Well, mine together. Join together in our second hymn, which is Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new dawn. It's time to see your throne again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Oh, draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Move on in our service. Catherine is very kindly going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession.
As it says on the screen, after each short piece of prayer, I invite you to join in with the words, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are able to meet with you in this place and also from our own homes. Please look after all of the people in your church throughout the world, especially those who live in areas where it is hard to be a Christian. We thank you for all those who spend their lives helping others to find you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a time of turmoil in the world, when decisions being made are sometimes life or death decisions, often vulnerable people. We pray that you will be there when those decisions are being made and that your voice will be heard above the egos and self-interest. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There are lots of places in this world where people do not feel safe, who are in need, sick or unhappy. There are lots of people in the world that need to be looked after. Please show them your love and help us to care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for the land, the sea, and the plants that make this world a beautiful place to live. We ask that you help those who work on the land and the sea, sometimes in the harshest of conditions. Lord, we thank you for the food that you have provided us with. We ask that you help farmers and local shops to continue thriving through these difficult times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks, Lord, for the privilege of communication that we have, for the equipment that we have in this place to enable us to worship you here and at home, for the instant phone calls we can make. Thank you for bringing light to the dark times in our lives. We ask that you look over the people we know who are currently in need of your comforting presence. In a moment of silence, we remember before you those we have in our hearts and on our minds. As we bring those people before you, Lord, in the coming week, help us to be your body, your mouth, and your hands for those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, hear our prayers. Guard and keep us safe as we sleep, safe from fears, safe from pains. Bless our loved ones, strengthen the weak. Comfort the bereaved, feed the hungry, heal the sick, and enrich the poor. Help us to enact your will, bring peace between people and nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we move on to the next section of our service, we're going to think more about the harvest. So as we sing our next hymn, if you've brought a gift or an offering for the harvest, as we sing this, I will sort of direct, I'll point to your section. So sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you can obey what we said earlier on, so it's up and across the back, down and round, or down, round, up and back to your seats. As we sing this hymn, if you'd like to bring your gifts to the Lord. We're going to sing together, "We Plough the Field and Scatter."
Thank you.
So as we receive the harvest, I want you to sort of, from the best that you can from your seats, have a look at the offerings here brought before us and on the back windowsill there. Normally we would have a table full of produce that's fresh as well. We would have pumpkins and apples and things, but under these difficult conditions of coronavirus, we've had to make changes. But even in those situations, we've been able to thank God for the things that He has given us. We've had food to eat. We've had a roof over our head. We've had warmth and clothing. And these gifts can go to various charities that are still operating, trying to help those that are still struggling, either through Corona or through being homeless or other needs. We think of the food banks. We think of the various churches and the charities. And in our small offering, where we can easily say to ourselves, what possible difference could this make? But if you haven't eaten for 2 or 3 days, a tin of food makes a big difference. So we receive this harvest gift and these monies that are going to go to the Hope Centre. And we thank God. We remember those who are struggling to feed themselves and their families, those who are at threat of losing employment. We remember the charities and the volunteers who are trying to help. And we remember that God has provided for people throughout history. And today, through His church, He continues to help. Father, we thank You for this gift, this produce and this money. And as a farmer sows a seed and expects a multiple return from that seed, so Lord, we say, take our seeds this morning, bless them, increase them, and use them to fulfill Your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final hymn this morning is Now Thank We All Our God, after which I would ask that you just stay in your seat so that we can give you the instructions of how to leave again. So Now Thank We All Our God. Thank you. to we ploughed the with now thank we all our God, wasn't it? How many of you felt the urge to dance around? Anyway, let's just close our meeting with a prayer. Father, we thank you that we have been able to put on this service here in this building today. We thank you for the help of everyone who's enabled that to happen. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for this harvest in front of us. And we pray for all of those in need. We pray that you would bless them and look after them. We pray for the volunteers and for the helpers and the charities, that you would bless them through these difficult days. Lord, increase the gifts that are given to them, that they may share throughout the nations and the towns. Lord, as we go from this place, have your hand upon us. Cause us not to worry. Remind us of your provision. And provide, Lord, for all that we need in our daily lives. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The love of God.
So as we come to the end of our service, just to say it has been a trial for us to do this. So thank you for bearing with us through the difficulties and the technological problems that we've had. But it has been good to do this. So thank you for those of you that are here in the building and for those of you who have tuned in on Zoom. I hope you've been blessed by it. May you have a really good week. For those of you here in the building, just stay in your seats for a couple of minutes and then we'll sort of get you to leave in an orderly fashion so that you're not coming into contact and stuff. And just to remind you that if you have an offering that you would normally give to the church, not for the harvest, but for the church offering, there are plates at the back for you. Is it over there with you? Yeah, plates at the back on either side as you leave the building. So thank you once again for being here with us. I'm afraid you're not allowed to stay around and have a chat with one another. What you do outside is entirely up to you, but you're not allowed to stand and have a chat in here. So God bless you as you go into your coming week.
I'm right back.
Yeah. Come right in front. Right. So, those of you, are you complete already? No. So, those of you in section one, if you could make your way towards the back. And what I'll do is rather than do that, it's section four here. If you want to make your way up that side, and then you can leave through that door, putting any offering in on your way out.
Mm-hmm.